Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. It's me and it's Brian, a.k.a. Pasta Padre. Brian, how are you this fine Monday? No, wait. What day is it? Thursday. I just got done watching a football game and playing a football game. So it's funny. How are you doing this fine Thursday evening, my friend?
Yeah, doing better, like, physically and mentally than I have the last month. It's been an interesting time, and you know, we get to catch up again, which is fun. Our last podcast, which we had Owen on, that was great. And I just thought, you know, it's a good time to reconnect here as we're almost to the Black Friday period, which is an interesting time for sports games and everything.
I mean, as far as I remember, PastaPadre.com was the place to go when you wanted to know what to do for your, not only sports games, clearly sports games, but also video game deals. Like, that's where you went. And it's so funny how that the world is, and not that many years later, though, that part of our world is just so different. You know what I mean?
It's the loss, really, of like the physical media as far as deals go, because it's, you know, it's controlled by essentially Xbox and PlayStation. They set their deals. They do them. You're less likely going out to Walmart or GameStop than ever before. So it's a fascinating time. But I mean, the prices of the games also, they drop so quickly now that you really don't need to wait till Black Friday. It's like Madden comes out and get it 3 weeks later for $20 off. You know, it was down from 70 to 30 at the end of October. That was barely, we're mid-season. You know, it didn't even used to fall that far, that fast. So when you want deals on games, they're not hard to find anymore throughout the year. And then it just kind of everything comes together at Black Friday. But it doesn't feel like the super special time it used to be. And there is really no Black Friday. It's Black November now with everybody starting.
There have been Black Friday deals I've seen advertised, you know, for weeks now, and we're still a week before Thanksgiving week. And I don't lament any of this, by the way. You know what I mean? I really don't. Like, I've never been one of those Black Friday people. I've never been the kind of person who will, you know, we've talked about it a lot, but like, to me, I value time more than money. And when I say that, I don't mean that in an obnoxious way, right? Like, I'm talking about, like, you know, if you're talking, we've said so many times, right? If you want to play video games, generally speaking, and it's an expensive hobby. It's probably less expensive now overall than it used to be in terms of what you can play. You know, it used to be, Brian, remember when you used to have to buy video games? Remember that?
That was my next point I was going to make, actually, which is I really don't buy many anymore.
I only buy a few games a year because so much of what I want to play is available via the subscriptions, right? Not everything, but a lot of it is. And the between the subscriptions and everything digital, again, I don't lament it. I don't decry it. I'm not saying these are the good old days. It's just funny how different all of it is in not that long of a time.
Yeah, that's what I did just a couple days ago, because I really haven't been able to play or have had the capability of playing video games much in the last month. And so just a couple days ago, I went and on the Game Pass, now that I'm feeling better, and just downloaded like 3 or 4 games that I'm going to start playing at some point here when I get a little more free time.
Well, that's another thing, right? Like, not to even skip ahead again, but I don't even download games anymore. I stream. Yeah. If I can't stream a game through PlayStation Now or Xbox Game Pass, I'm 90% more likely just to keep on going, because I have been completely changed by the fact that when I boot up my PlayStation 5 or my Xbox Series X, and I go to see what I'm going to play different, which isn't often, but, you know, I do it sometimes. I just want to try out something new. If I don't see the little cloud on it by the Xbox or, you know, the stream by the PlayStation, like, I'm going to skip it, because, you know, it only takes 7 or 8 or 9 games to fill up your hard drive, you know, and like, streaming through the consoles through the services has just been a wonderful revelation for me. I mean, this is not a sports game and it's not a new game, but I have been playing the South Park Fractured, whatever that thing is called. Right.
Yes.
That is a fantastic turn-based strategy game. And I'm a sucker for turn-based strategy games. You know, the South Park of it is like way beyond the TV show. It's like movie level South Park, meaning, you know, not constantly, but so much of it is just like so over the top South Park, which, by the way, if you play a South Park game, you know, that's coming. I'm not complaining about it. It's just, you know, if it were me, I would rather have had it be more like of a TV show level South Park as opposed to a movie level. But anyway, it is a great turn-based strategy game at its core, and I love turn-based strategy games. And if I hadn't just been goofing off, poking around the PlayStation Now or Plus or whatever the tier is that I have, and I don't know what prompted me other than just remembering in the back of my mind, you know, somebody saying this was a really good game. And I pressed the button, and within 20 seconds, not even, I was starting the game. And now I'm like 15 hours into this game. I'm super deep. And it's because of streaming. And I just love streaming. And if I have to download a game, it's so much anxiety in downloading a game, because then you got to figure, well, what do I get rid of? Oh, getting rid of a game off your hard drive. To me, that's just, I hate that. I hate it. And I used to have external hard drives plugged in, but, you know, it doesn't always work. And so anyway, streaming, you know, playing a game within 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds by streaming it on these things, as well as all of the services, as well as, you know, the if you do buy a game, it's digital. It's just wild, man. It's wild. But I love the streaming. The streaming is where it's at for me. I know it's not for other people, like people that really care a lot about the fidelity, you know what I mean? And they want the most kilobits of DPIs over there, whatever those things are. Like, I get that. That's a big part of video games. You know what I mean? I understand it, but I don't care. Like, to me, I don't care about any theoretical degradation of the game, because I don't really, that's not my thing.
Yeah. I've never done it with the cloud streaming. Actually, I don't think I've ever sent once. But I do see the benefit to it, as far as it's a lot easier to try a game out.
Yes.
Have to go through that process where you can just jump right in. And if you don't care about it, then you leave it and that's it.
Totally. Totally do.
I want to talk, Rich, about our Madden League while we have time. First of all, patches have come out recently to address a few franchise issues, ones that were plaguing us or potentially would bring our league to a halt, which includes the draft revert glitch, which is you complete your draft and then you just end up getting bounced back into a cycle of draft and then into the week again, and then everybody's back to the draft again for some reason. And apparently that's been addressed, although they don't seem super confident that everybody's league is going to be fixed. So we're still going to have to deal with what is our league, four-string league. By the way, if anybody is interested, we do have openings and a wait list going into season 2. We play on the Xbox Series X or you know, whatever the other one is, and you know, it's at least makes Madden bearable. We have a lot of fun with it, and so, Rich, hopefully our league gets through to season 2. But let's talk about our first season, because you just had a wild week 18 game that determined whether you were going to the playoffs or not.
Yeah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It was a complete, utter catastrophe. All I had to do going into this game was win. And if I win, I'm in the playoffs. And I would have made the playoffs with an 8-9 record, because 17 games and schedules and whatever. And I'm the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was playing at Las Vegas against the Raiders. Raiders haven't won more than a couple games all year long, you know, and I've won 7.
The Raiders are going to have the number one pick.
Right. So I had beaten them before as well. And I got Mahomes and I got Ezekiel Elliott, who I traded for, and I got enough to that where I should win. And, you know, Madden – is the most frustrating software you can play. You know, on the four string show that we did a couple nights ago, Brian, what did I tell you happened to me every single game on the first possession?
I don't remember because I
fumble.
Oh, okay.
And what happens in the first possession of tonight's game? Like first or second play from scrimmage, fumble. Ezekiel Elliott. Not me scrambling around like a crazy person. No, just hand the ball off, get a couple blocks. I'm about to get 4 or 5 yards, and he fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
And it just went from there. I fell behind 10-0. I clawed back, and I kicked a field goal to end the first half to make it 10-3. I got the ball in the second half. I drove it down the field. I scored a touchdown and made it 10-10. The momentum yet still was two-thirds for the Raiders. You know what I mean? After I scored 10 unanswered to close out the first half and open up the second half, which is ridiculous. And then we went back and forth. They got a field goal. I got a field goal. They got a field goal. And then I got a touchdown.
Yes.
And I was up by 4.
With what, about 2 minutes left?
About 2 minutes. Yeah. I think it was just under the 2 minute warning.
Mm-hmm.
And, they went down the field, they scored a touchdown on like a 15 yard pass with 10 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
And I lost the game, and I wouldn't even be unhappy about it, except my opponent did what I was told you can't do, which is chew the clock. And he chewed the clock through the whole game. Again, as I told the commissioner in a note, I'm like, you know, I got suspended a game because the rules say you can't chew the clock until there's 4 minutes left in either half.
Uh-huh.
And this dude chewed the clock on the whole first drive that he had, and then again in the second quarter, and then again in the third quarter, you know, and I was messaging, you know, our commissioner the whole time saying this is what's happening. And again, I wouldn't even care about that if I hadn't gotten suspended for a game for doing it and I didn't know. Now, granted,
is that what you got suspended for? I wasn't sure.
Suspended for because I was chewing the clock in a game and I didn't know you couldn't do it. And I was told after the game, you can't do that. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. But then I got suspended and I was fine with it because I broke the rules. Like, I get it. So anyway, that makes me mad. But, you know, what are you going to do? I mean, I was up by 4 with 2 minutes left. All I had to do was stop them from scoring a touchdown. I couldn't do it. So. He didn't score a touchdown because he was chewing the clock, but you know, it was a tactic to reduce the number of possessions I have, which is an illegal tactic. So I'm ticked, but I know it's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen, and we'll go in the off season. And as I said on the fourth string, you know, thing that we did, my off season and next year is going to be very bad roster wise because I'm in a terrible cap situation. I'm going to lose most of my good players, especially I'm going to lose all of my wide receivers. I'm going to have no wide receivers and no cap space. So that also makes it sting even more. You're in a different situation in terms of cap space and draft picks. I'm, you know, going to be spiraling downward, which is a bummer. But again, it's my own fault. I've got no one to blame but me. I made the trade for Elliott, which significantly increased my salary cap, but I knew what I was getting into. And he ran for 1,600 plus yards this year. It's not like he didn't, you know, run a lot, but I also did poor roster management. I have too many running backs. I have 4 halfbacks, which is ridiculous. I should have at most 3 and probably 2.
Two effective ones, yeah.
Right, exactly. And so, you know, I've got no one to blame but myself for all of my troubles on the field and off, but that's the situation. It's going to be a tough, tough time, and, you know, it's an unpleasant way to go into the postseason. I would have much rather gone 8-9, snuck in with a 7 seed, gotten my butt whipped in the first round of the playoffs. But making the playoffs in 4th string is a big deal. And this was by far my best shot to do it. So, you know, that's how
I don't think you would have enjoyed the playoffs because I saw that in the last like 2 possessions, you had 3 or 4 players go down with injury, including 2 of your starting offensive linemen.
Well, there's that too. I didn't even mention that because I just didn't want to. I just hate sounding like a guy complaining. But yes, you're exactly right. I lost several key members of my offensive line in the second half of the game. Mm-hmm. Just crazy, crazy.
Yeah, well, that was effectively my whole season was just decimated by injuries. I started with the Seahawks, And unlike you, I was really never in the playoff picture. I'm in the stacked NFC, and I didn't anticipate year one being very good for me, because you're looking at starting with a roster that EA severely underrated, underestimated, and you know that I'm not getting upgrades from Geno Smith being good in real life. You know, he's stuck at 65 or 66, so I had to cut him. And my rookies are not progressing like the rookies have in real life. So I have a roster which has one or two difference makers on offense and one or two difference makers on defense, and an offensive line that for a long stretch of the second half of my season, I was starting three backups that were rated like 60 and 61. And then on defense, I had Jordan Brooks, who I was able to get a dev upgrade for, but he got injured. And I just had no one that could stop the run on defense. And it's just been a mess along the way. I lost a lot of close games early in the season and middle of the season. And then late in the season, I was pretty much getting blown out. I just did not have the horses to make plays for me. So I'm going into my offseason, unlike you, where you're pessimistic, I'm going into my offseason with probably about $60 million in cap space. I have three first-round picks. I have two second-round picks. I have my third-round pick that's going to be right near the top of the round. So I have six picks that should be quality, should give me starters. And I'll be picking probably number three, I think, in the draft. So I'm going to get someone good there. I got my eye on a few players at the top of the draft. But, man, I don't know what I'm going to do about my offensive line because there are no good – it doesn't look like there's any real good offensive linemen in the draft. And you know how difficult it is to find offensive linemen in free agency in our league. Really, any great difference makers in free agency in our league. So I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I'm going to have to make some moves here, and hopefully my draft pans out for me. I just need to get guys who are going to make plays.
Yeah. So it's tough when you're playing against a bunch of other good players. You know what I mean? It's different when you're just playing against a computer, you know what I mean? And you can learn to do things that will, generally speaking, give you success on a fairly regular basis. You know, I play every day on the treadmill. Not every day. I play four or five times a week on the treadmill. You know, and I have a offline franchise that I have with the same time settings and the same level settings and stuff. And I play with the same team, the Chiefs, so that I can sort of, you know, practice a little bit. And, you know, things that I can do there, certain, not money plays, because I'm not good enough to really have a money play, but certain things I can do there, I can't do either as consistently or at all when I'm playing against another really good human being, which, again, I'm not saying is a bad thing, right? It's a good thing. It's interesting, but yeah, you're not gonna, this is a hard league. You know, it's tough to get good in this league, both on the field when you're playing other good players as well as off. If you do have, in your case, bad injuries, or in my case, bad roster management, but you know, that's how it is, right? That's the way it goes. That's part of being in the league is, well, yeah, you know, the whole point of the league is for people to play like normal people. But they're generally speaking going to be pretty good. You know, I'll win some games. I'll lose more games than I win. But you know, they're rarely are you going to go into a game where you're just going to annihilate the other person.
Yeah, I went from making the playoffs all four seasons in Madden 22 to having this rough start in Madden 23. And again, I anticipated it to an extent, but I didn't think it would be as much of a grind to get anything done with my team. So I only had a couple tradable assets. I traded those that's how I got that extra first round pick. So I've got three now, and it's going to be, I'm really not sure what my approach is going to be at quarterback. So, I mean, you have that. You don't have a choice. You've got Mahomes. You're paying him a lot of money. And you have to work around that. I have free money, but I also don't want to spend $50 million on a quarterback. So
right.
I'm going to have to find a way to get somebody who can be more effective for me. You know, it's with this target passing and everything, it's opens up a lot of passes. You know, for the most part, I think it's a good thing. But also, I've just had balls just sail on me where I thought I put it right where it needed to be, and I missed completely. So, yeah, that's it's gonna be fun. I at least have you don't have a lot of flexibility. I have a ton of flexibility, and so that's what I'm looking forward to now. And we'll see how that goes. It's just that, man, I watched your game here on Twitch as you were playing. It's a lot on the line.
Honestly, Brian, I was proud of myself for getting down 10-0, coming back on the road, momentum against me, tying it up, then going ahead. You know, that was quite an achievement for me to do that. You know, obviously at the end I lost, but like I was down the whole game and then finally up late and then lost it in the last 10 seconds. But it was it was a valiant effort by me, if I do say so myself, before I capitulated in the end.
What else have you been playing lately, Rich?
Well, I continue to play NBA 2K because it's an extraordinary experience, and I continue to play the Eras 2001 Nets because they're just a fantastic team, incredibly fun to play as. You know, you got Jason Kidd. You got Richard Jefferson, you got Kenyon Martin, you got Kerry Kittles, you know, you've got Jason Collins, you've got Dikembe Mutombo on that team.
Hmm.
They're so much fun to play with Jason Kidd, especially just being able to run up and down the court at peak Jason Kidd, because in 2001, that was peak Jason Kidd, right? He led that Nets team to two consecutive NBA finals, two consecutive Eastern Conference championships. You know, no, they didn't compete very much against San Antonio or the Lakers in those finals, but nobody did against those great Lakers and Spurs teams, and winning the East 2 years in a row, they beat some good teams. And it's just extraordinarily fun, Brian. You know, I've said it before, so I won't spend 10 minutes on NBA 2K. But for me, just as for how I like to play sports games nowadays, which is generally speaking going to be either on the treadmill or just like almost like comfort food between when I finally shut down work and when I finally get in bed, that little 30 minutes where I'll play something. That's really where NBA 2K sits with me. It's purely offline. It's purely just going to play through that season and try to win the title. I won't do a second or a third year, but the fact that I can is amazing. You know, I could skip ahead and make them stay in New Jersey instead of moving to Brooklyn, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I just love it. It's just so good, Brian. It's just so good. Like there's so many things that are good about it. Like playing in the different arenas. You know, it so much care was taken into those era specific arenas. So many of the players look terrific. Some of the old coaches, the gameplay is really good. And I don't feel like I've mastered anything. You know, sometimes, you know, the way I play the game is to put it on 12 minute quarters and then go to about halfway through the third and pick it up from there with whatever the score is, whether I'm up, down or close. You know, so it's just playing the game is beautiful. I love running the pick and roll. It's hard to shoot well. You know what I mean? So easy if I wanted to, but I prefer to just, you know, live and die with it, you know, with the timing, you know, and the timing of the 3-point shots. You know, sometimes I get it, but a lot more often I don't. I play inside a lot because your timing doesn't matter nearly as much when you're close to the basket as when you're away from it.
Hmm.
I do so many pick and rolls with Jason Kidd. Like I get him to the top of the key and then I pull that left trigger and I roll, you know, Mutombo or Martin up to him and I try to go right or left. And sometimes I can drive past him. Sometimes I can't. I'll dish it off to the other guy, roll into the basket. And, you know, sometimes I get stopped and picked or whatever, because again, there's, it just plays so well at the level that I played. I love that game so much, Brian. It's just for what I want out of a basketball game, it's so good. I don't play the modern day stuff. I don't play the park. I just play that eras, you know, three or four nights a week, most weeks. And I have the best time.
Yeah.
It's so old man of me, but it's what I do, you know?
Yeah. I need to go back and get into the Sonics again, because that's what I had simmed ahead and done some stuff with it just to play around with it and see what it was all about and come up with the storylines to mention when we did the podcast about 2K, about NBA 2K. And I loved what they had going on with that. I need to go back and do that for myself.
It's just fun. You know what I mean? It's just so fun because you really discover how much... No, you don't discover how much work because it's impossible to tell. You discover so much that looks so great and plays so well. And I know they don't have every single player necessarily, but I mean, for a guy like me who,
yeah,
you know, they got all the guys on the Nets, you know what I mean? So like, I'm good. And then every time I play some team, I'm like, oh man, I remember watching that team and this team and the other team. And I'm really excited to go through the playoffs, you know, and then hopefully try to win the NBA championship, which would be super fun. I mean, but I'm ways away from that. I'm still only in like the 30th, 31st, 32nd game, because I only get to play a few nights a week.
Yeah.
And, you know, at least one, sometimes two of those nighttime opportunities have been taken up with the league, the Madden League, which has been going at such a pretty good pace lately. So, yeah. But, yeah.
Yeah. Have you played any PGA Tour?
No, I have not, yeah. And not because I don't want to or there's any problem. I have not played. I'll just be right in front. Like, I'm not – this is not the Rich Grisham – this is 22 – sorry, let me try again. 2022 has not been the, you know, the years of old 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago when we were doing the show back then. I have not played PGA Tour. I have not played NHL. I have not played FIFA. Did I mention to you, Brian, that if I see a game and I don't see a cloud or a stream button, I kind of have a tendency to move past it? It's gotten more acute this year because just being able to stream is great, and those games are not streaming yeah. games, which is, you know, not a criticism of them. But no, I haven't played any of them. None of them. I feel like a bad guy. No NHL, no FIFA, no PGA Tour, and it's not because I don't want to. It's not because I have any problem with those games. I'm in our Madden League, and I've got NBA 2K, and then I'm playing this South Park strategy game, you yeah. know, for some reason. And there's not a lot else that's really on the menu. That's 6, 7, 8 hours a week, and that's about the maximum I get these days. So, you know, and I don't know, you know, I don't know if I will. What'll be interesting is, does FIFA, I should know this, I'm literally asking you, does FIFA have, it does, there's a World Cup element to the new FIFA, right? Because the World Cup is starting in
yes,
3 years.
Uh-huh. Yes, this is the last time World Cup will be in a FIFA game.
Right, because they're breaking
well, yeah, up. Well, there won't be a FIFA game, at least
well, for EA. Right. But yeah. we don't know that it's the last time that the World Cup will be in the EAFC, the new series that starts next year, which is going to be FIFA. With
I think
the new
EA will not have any sort of rights to World Cup because they lost FIFA. So okay. FIFA will probably do their own game or license it out to someone else. That's... Hmm. You know, we're a ways off, obviously, from
right,
that happening
right.
again. So, we'll
so they do have the World Cup. So,
this year, yes.
You know, I have the 10-hour trial. And so this is probably an important point to make, too. I did try to play the new FIFA. When it first came out through EA Play, I tried to play it. I downloaded it. But then when I went into it, I would get to the tutorial. And then I would try to either... You know, a couple times I tried to get past it, and then I got to the screen and it said I wasn't authorized to play the game.
Oh.
And then a couple times yeah. I went through the tutorial, and then I got to the end and said I wasn't authorized to play the game. So, you know, I tried like 3 or 4 times, and I'm like, well, you know what? This ain't working, so I'll
take it as a sign.
Right, and I just deleted it, right? So, but I do want to, especially the World Cup coming, I got a 10-hour trial.
Yeah.
I don't know if the World Cup is part of it. the trial. Sure. But if it is, I'd like to at least play the three U.S. games against Iran, England, and Wales. Because, you know, the World Cup, it's only happens once every 4 years. And I know a little bit about this Team USA. You know, it's awesome that they're back in it. And we got the World Cup here in the United States in 4 years. So, you know, I definitely want to check it out. So I'm going to try again to download it and play it. I'm supposed to have 10 hours of it, I think, through my EA yes. Play. So, and I have two EA Plays, I think. Is EA Play part of the top PlayStation tier, or is it still separate?
I don't think EA Play is in.
You're probably right. I think
it's just an Xbox.
So I only have it on Xbox through Game Pass. Yeah, I do want to try that. But, you know, NHL, I don't know if NHL is on EA Play. I probably have the 10-hour
thing.
I actually played a decent amount of NHL 22 well after it came out. I probably played 25 or 30 games of a season. Now, what's interesting, Brian Weeday, I don't know if you've noticed, but have you heard about the New Jersey Devils? Have you heard of that team?
I hear that they've been winning games. They've been winning a long streak of games. I've been paying attention because the Kraken are good this season. So,
right. So your New Jersey Devils don't lose. They have won 11 straight games, including tonight as we speak. They beat the Maple Leafs in Toronto in overtime after beating Montreal in Montreal two nights ago. And that was after they have just been tearing through Canadian teams. They went on the road out west. They took on Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary. They won all those games. And they came home and played Calgary, Ottawa, and Arizona, won those games, and went to Montreal, won that one, Toronto. They've just been on fire. And so, obviously, when your team is really good, it makes you more desiring to play the sports video game of that team, right? So, like, the Devils have been really bad for the last 7 or 8 years. Like, we're talking, it's not been a down couple years. It's been a down 7, 8, 9 years for the Devils.
Yeah.
You know, they made a run to the Cup Finals probably about 10 years ago and played the Kings tough and lost in six. So the fact that they're good makes me want to hop in and play with Jack Hughes and Dougie Hamilton and your red hot New Jersey Devils. 14 wins, 3 losses, Brian, and they have won 11 in a row. So
yeah,
that's a lot of games. I don't care what league you're in. That's a lot of games in a row to win. And you said the Kraken are good. Now, how do you go from being terrible last year to being good? Why are they good? What's making them good?
Different goalie, couple young players that they drafted in the last, especially Matty Beniers, who they drafted high in their first draft. He's been good. And, you know, they're just playing a lot better as a team. I think it's really difficult as an expansion team to come in. You don't have that. You're not gelled as a team, you know. And so I think that was part of it. And they had stretches last season where they were pretty good and they beat some good teams, but then they were just, they played hard. They just didn't really have it. And this season they've been, doing really well. And as I speak, they gave up a late goal and now they're going to overtime, against New York Rangers. This is the other problem with the Kraken is they really have been bad in overtime and I pretty much lost every overtime that they've been in. So, but 8-5-3, hopefully they can pull out the win here in overtime and they'd currently be in playoff position. So it's early, obviously, but it's been interesting. So I did fire up NHL, play some with the Kraken, and it's pretty cool. And they even got the reverse retro jerseys in there for all the teams. And, I was curious, NHL is really hated this year by people. NHL 23 and
well, that's a and strong that, statement. Like what people are you talking about? Because
it's not because gameplay's bad or anything. As far as I understand, it seems to be a case of people talking about false advertising as far as presentation goes. EA made a big deal about these presentation improvements in the game this year. They put out a video highlighting them and From what I've read, those presentation elements either don't exist at all, or some of them only play for a few of the teams in the league, and everybody else has pretty much nothing. And so that seems to be where it's at. And I was just fascinated, and I mentioned this to you before we started recording, that NHL has a lower user score. Of course, these user scores are worthless. Everybody goes on and rates them a 1 or a 10. But NHL has a lower user score on Metacritic, a 1.1, than Madden does, which is a 1.4. So that just goes to show how many people have been upset about that.
Well,
game.
review bombing is a common thing, right? Like I don't think anybody really looks much at reviews anymore of video games.
No, but
right?
People are more motivated to downvote Madden than most.
Well, I guess my point is I wouldn't look at user reviews of any video games and think about them at all. I just don't do that.
It's worthless. But I'm just trying to get across is that NHL typically has not been downvoted quite like that, to the point where it's lower than Madden even. So it was just interesting to me to see the temperature on NHL being so low, when I think of most sports franchises, I think NHL has gradually improved maybe more than others.
I've never played a bad NHL.
Yeah.
I've never played a bad NHL, right? Never. And I've been playing NHL since it was a game. But I also have definitely taken long stretches of breaks from NHL, as we've talked about on the show many times, not because it's not great, but my longtime concern, not concern. One of the reasons I haven't played a lot of NHL in the more recent versions of it is because I, as a person, could not ever really tell the difference in playing with any team and any player. Like it just, the game always felt the same, and it's not even a criticism of the game. There's only so much you can do with a game like this to differentiate different players. You know, when you're playing NBA or you're playing Madden, you know, it's a very different experience, as you know, if you have a very good offensive line or a very bad offensive line or a very good quarterback or a very bad quarterback. Obviously with MLB The Show, right? Pitchers, hitters. I mean, it's clear. NHL has always had, not always, but you know, I'm not, you know, back in the Sega days, you know, way, way, way back when most of our listeners weren't even alive, it's a very different thing. But you know, in the last generation, I've had a hard time just having a different kind of experience playing the game. And that's been my issue with it. But I told you, I played quite a bit of 22, thoroughly enjoyed it. But I just don't have the same ability to really enjoy when you have the basketball in the hands of Dikembe Mutombo. It's very different when it's in the hands of Jason Kidd or Richard Jefferson, right? Like,
yeah, they've tried to.
It doesn't matter who has the puck when I'm doing the same thing, right? If I'm on the wing, I'm trying to, you know, skate around or cycle it down or pass it in the middle. If I'm the center, I'm usually like I'm doing the same thing with no matter who's on the ice all the time, you know?
Yeah, and it's definitely been an issue. They've tried to address that with different ability like features in the last year or two.
Yeah, it's
I don't know
an unenviable
how.
Task. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's so hard to do that. So hard.
Yeah. It is, especially in a free flowing game like that. I've always kind of felt that way about FIFA also, but I think what you see with FIFA in comparison is in the hands of somebody who's really skilled. They can
forget
special
about
things that I can't do.
Yeah.
I think that's seen more in FIFA than you could.
I mean, look, I'm a caveman when it comes to FIFA, but I play it almost every year, and I always start with Everton, and I always use the big massive cash bonus that you get when they were like, oh yeah, it's your 15th consecutive FIFA. You know, if you want to just, you know, pretend like a billionaire bought your team and gave you an incredible budget, you can, which I love the fact that FIFA does that. And then I go sign 5 or 6 of the best players in the world, and it completely changes the game. Like it's not as noticeable in FIFA, obviously, as in NBA, but it's very noticeable very noticeable in FIFA to me. And I'm not even a good player. I just, you know, usually play it every year and go sign Daniel Alaba and, you know, and Harry Kane. And usually, like, I usually Google who are the like two or three best defensemen and two or three best midfielders and two or three best strikers in the world and try to get them. And I also try to get Romelu Lukaku back on the team because I love him, because I saw him play way, way back in the day in England. The one time I've been to England in my life, saw him play, which was awesome. And I was like, who is that guy? He's really good. And then he played for Everton and was great for them, and then has since gone on to play all over the world and win titles and stuff like that. So, I don't ever have that same feeling in NHL, and I don't know what NHL can do about it. And it's a good game. It's a good game. And I'm going to play it soon because the Devils are good, and I want to jump into a season and play as the Devils.
And there you go, the Kraken winning overtime. So
nice. There you go.
Yeah, it takes
off
them
to Schneid.
Yeah, no, it's... They've just been it's been fun to watch because the offense has just been better. And what used to happen in their first season was so many times they would score and then within like a minute give up a goal. And it was just crushing. And there were a couple games ago where they were winning and gave up a goal with 3 seconds and then it had to go to overtime and they lost in overtime. So they still got a point, but it was just a little crushing there. But now they had a 5-game win streak, not quite Devils win streak, Rich, but now they're back with another win here after that overtime loss. So
hey, five wins in a row in the NHL is awesome. That's hard to do.
Most of them were on the road too, so it's pretty impressive. So I'm just happy about that. I did want to talk about going back to PGA Tour or Tiger Woods 2K23. Which I did play that extensively before I had my head issues. I don't know if I would say that you need to play it, Rich. It's very good. It's very,
I mean, I'm a fan of the golf club. Yeah. I'm a fan. I'm a big fan of this series. I've played every single one.
Yeah. From starting with the golf club.
Yeah. Every one.
So it's very, I hesitate to say it's very similar, but it is not dramatically different than the last game.
It's golf. How different can it be? Like, yeah. And I'm not saying don't fix things that need to be fixed, but like it's golf. You're not going to get anything dramatically different. What you want is improved.
So what they did do though, and I thought this was the biggest thing they could do with this game. Well, there are two big things. And the first was that they do have playable pros now. You can play as Tiger Woods. There's only a handful of professional golfers because obviously the rights are kind of iffy right now as far as PGA and LIV. And I think they probably lost some people because of that. So they've got some celebrities in there too you can play as, or like Steph Curry you can play as. But that was something a lot of people asked for. The thing that I thought was the most impactful decision they made was to add in the 3-click swing. Did you know that they did this?
Oh, I know it because I see, you know, the people that I know playing this game, like Seamount for Life is a huge, like he's a big influencer in that game. Like that's a big thing that he does. And Chris Jardine plays it a lot. And I see and hear quite a bit of discussion about the three click swing, but I don't know any of the details. I don't know why it's controversial, and I don't know why certain competitions won't let you use it. So I'm interested to hear about all of this in more detail. So like that, what I told you is exactly what I know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think it's a question of like user skill people go back to, as far as there's probably more to using a stick, but also the stick is so inconsistent. That's why we had issues over the years with the golf club and PGA Tour as it turned into, it's in 2K now, is because we never really knew what what was going to happen every time we pushed that stick up and down. And you can calibrate it as much as you want, but you never really know. And there were times where it would feel like you swung it true and it would just wildly go off. And what the three click really does is
all the time.
Yeah, is brings that consistency to the game where you can trust what you're doing. You can trust your timing. But yes, it probably does make it a little simpler. And the golf club has been a very punishing series, and then it's gradually gotten not to where it's a casual type golf game, not to where it's an arcade type golf game, but it's gotten to where
never been an arcade game by any stretch.
It's been an ultra sim, and absolutely. So now what this does is it isn't changing that; it just makes it a little more accommodating. I mean, it makes it so people can pick up the game and start to play it and start to get better at it that way. You don't. You know, when you send someone, I know from firsthand from myself and from some others that you go in there and you start swinging with the stick and you really don't know how to get better because you can't trust what you're doing with that. So adding the three click, I thought, was a huge thing. It brings back, you know, some of those the feelings reminiscing of the classic golf games. I know there were a lot.
Oh, my God. That was what golf was for 25 years, was three click. Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, and so it brings back, I think, a good number of people who maybe stopped playing golf games at a certain point because the Tiger Woods EA series died and they didn't transition into the other games, or they found them too difficult like this series had been. But it's a very good game. It's a very good game. It's not an extraordinary experience, but if you're into the golf games and you've liked them before, or any golf games in the past, it's one that I would easily recommend. It's very similar in a lot of ways, but adding that three click and then if you care about playing as certain other individuals, then I think it's a good pickup, especially if you can get it a deal here coming up.
What I would like to do, and this may be possible because it was possible before, but what I would love to be able to do is, like, every few days, just be able to play around and have it be part of a round that, you know, three or four of my friends also participated in.
Well, that's like the society, online societies in the game. You can set up your own club and then make it your own pace.
Right.
And the cool thing is that now they've got cross-platform, and so you can be on different consoles, so it allows you to do that a little better. I always like the online societies, but it's hard to keep them going,
right? Like, if you could have a society with two people and it was just you and me, like, I would be down for that.
Then
you and I would just, you know, once or twice a week, kind of like in the Madden League, once or twice a week we play 18 holes at a different course, and, you know, sometimes you'd win, sometimes I would win. I would be fine. I would love that. And maybe that's the thing that we can do. I just don't know about it. I wouldn't be surprised if we could.
Yeah, we can set something like that up, I think.
Well, I have to get the game first. Don't have the game.
Well, yeah, we'll see. You let me know when that happens. anything else on your mind, Rich?
I'm looking forward to the holiday season, looking forward to Thanksgiving, Christmas, looking forward to playing some of these games that we've been talking about that I haven't yet. Looking forward to playing NHL. I'm going to play the golf club. I'm going to play some FIFA. And that's really, you know, that's what I'm going to do. I mean, no matter what, it's not like when I'm playing video games, yes, I'll play a South Park here and there. You know, I'll try a Telling Lies and just get completely confused and give up after 10 minutes here and there. You know, I play some Team Fortress 2 with my son sometimes, but still, more often than not, if I'm going to fire up a video game, I'm going to fire up a sports video game, and I'm looking forward to playing some sports video games that I haven't yet played over Thanksgiving and the Christmas holiday season.
Yeah, I think what we should do at the end of the year, early January, is get back together and talk about kind of the past year and the year ahead, what we anticipate. So
I would love that.
Normally we would talk about where you can find us, but with with the impending collapse of Twitter.
Well, I got a head start on that myself.
Yeah, I know you were out. You were out before.
Yeah,
before it all burned down.
Yeah, I didn't want anything more to do with it. Again, not a criticism, just not a place I wanted to be. And I haven't been unhappy about that for a moment of time since then. Just not the place I wanted to spend time.
Yeah, and I understand that. You gotta do what's best for you. And it's been a fascinating thing to watch the last few weeks. And so normally I would say, hey, you know, follow me on Twitter if you ever need anything from me. That's the best place to find me. Now I don't know, because I don't know if it'll be around next time I load it up. But other places you can get me, right? Obviously, I think there's a lot of avenues to getting a hold of me through my website or Instagram, Pasta Padre, or now I have a Mastodon. Are you familiar with this social media site?
I've heard of it. Yeah.
It's complicated.
Extent of it.
It's far.
Well,
it's
that
not
doesn't
exactly
sound good.
Twitter.
I mean, it's not anything complicated is hard for people to use.
It's not. It's not as user friendly. So, and then what else? I don't know. Do we still have a podcast email address?
Do we? Sure. Hasn't been checked in 5 years. Not by me. Not by me. Look, the collapse of social media would not be bad for humanity. Trust me, it would be good. It'd be great, frankly. So I lament no collapse of Twitter or anything else for that matter. None.
No, I think there's been a lot of damage done. What I will miss though is it's Twitter for me is kind of my central hub for breaking news.
Sure. No, I'm not suggesting there's no good of it, but the bad, in my opinion, right? The bad wildly outweighs the good, wildly. But I also recognize that millions of people, directly and indirectly, make a living off of, Twitter and what it offers them. And so many of the relationships that I have now exist because, in one way or another, directly or indirectly because of Twitter. Like I used to care about Twitter a lot. I used to have a pretty, decent number of people who followed me on Twitter and all that stuff. But again, I won't be the least bit unhappy if social media has a much lower presence in our world, because we'll all be better off for it.
Yeah, in the meantime, I think it's becoming more and more disruptive in a bad way. Like, it was a subtle way that it was doing damage, and now it's like more at the forefront of things. But
now, I also don't think it's going to go away, right? I don't. I really don't. I think, it'll go through whatever it's going through. And then, eventually, just because of money, it will exist in another way, and there will be people who will be there. And
yeah.
So, you know.
Well, if this is the last time, thanks for listening over the years.
Well, it won't be the last Press Row podcast.
No,
not at all.
Well, you never know. Hey, you can't speak to that. We don't know what the world's going to
happen. Well, I mean, fatal. Could you be a little more fatalistic? My God. Holy mackerel, dude. We're going to do another show. This is definitely not the last Press Row podcast. We just said we're going to play some games over the holidays and then talk about them at the end of the year and look forward to next year. You've committed, my friend. You've committed.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, if as long as I'm not
of Twitter doesn't matter for us to do a podcast. You do realize that, right?
I don't know, but then where do I tweet about it afterwards?
You don't need to tweet about it. People will listen to it without you tweeting about it. Trust me, they will. Hundreds of people listen to this show still, dude. Hundreds of people. And I am saying thank you right now to all of them. It's incredible. And none of them listen to this show because of anything on Twitter. Now they just, it shows up in their feed. They're like, oh my God, Rich and Brian did another show.
It's a surprise. I like that now that it pops up and you're like, wait, they recorded one.
It's great. I love it.
Yeah.
I've had so many people tell me, oh, it was so nice to hear you guys do another show. I love that. That makes me so happy.
I appreciate that too. Thank you. Thank you for those nice words, everyone. I get some of those in Twitter, and now I won't have any positive feedback anymore. So it's sad.
Whiz. Wow.
Yeah, I wanted to end on a positive note since we're doing these so rarely now. I thought I'd close out the episode with some real optimism about life ahead. Yes.
My goodness gracious. It's all going to be okay, man. It's all going to be okay.
I appreciate it. I need the reassurance.
It will be. I promise you it will be. Yeah. When we're talking around Christmas time, I'll tell you. Like, told you it was going to be okay. I'm like, yeah. Hey, you're right.
You questioned whether we'd make it this far. And I told you. Yes, you were right.
Exactly. Rich. Yep. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you,
everyone. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah. Yes. And it was fun.
It was fun. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We'll do this again soon. We promise. Have a great Thanksgiving, everybody. Cheers.